Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor told the following story a few years ago. He said, I've never seen such a crowd in church, the woman exclaimed. I didn't know her, but apparently she was impressed by the number of people here for Easter worship. Then, as she was shaking my hand and moving toward the front door, she added, "Do you suppose it'll make any difference?" I held on to her so she couldn't get away. "What do you mean?" I said. "Will what make a difference?" "Easter," she shot back. "Will Easter make any difference for all these people, or will life tomorrow be the same as it was yesterday?" I think that's a rather profound question. Will Easter make any difference for all of these people, or will life tomorrow be the same as it was yesterday? Will Easter make any difference in your life? Has this last week been any different for you because of the Easter event we celebrated last Sunday? I'd suggest that Easter can and does make a difference in our lives. You've probably assimilated some, if not most, of what I'm about to talk about into your life already. So you may not think of Easter 2022 as having a profoundly life-changing effect on your daily life. But this Easter, and all the Easters, including the mini-Easters, which is what every Sunday in the church represents, have affected you. We might even say, tongue-in-cheek, infected you. Made you a different person than you would if you hadn't experienced them. I would say, first of all, Easter makes a difference as you live out your life here in the living presence of Jesus. I don't know if this illustration will help or not, but it was recounted by Pastor Tim Zingley. He said, once a hospital children's ward was the most depressing place to work because the children had little hope. This was reflected in the faces of the nurses who regularly requested a change to a different department. Even parents and friends found it difficult to enter and stay with these children as their lives failed. But one man changed that by dressing like a clown. The nurses were apprehensive, some of the parents were offended, but the children laughed. The children sensed the clown loved them and offered hope for them. You see, the man playing the clown believed that today was not the end of the world, and he had a powerful influence on the children because he gave them hope. And it wasn't long before the nurses began to work with him. They began to laugh and to smile, and this affected the parents and the friends and other visitors. And then one day, the clown didn't come to the hospital because his own life failed. He, too, was dealing with a difficult illness. But he lives on in that hospital ward. Someone else is wearing his silly costume and smile now. But most important, someone else is bringing some joy and hope through their actions of love. Living life in the living presence of the living Lord, living life in the power of the resurrection, means that we are truly people who live in hope and victory. Our hope is anchored in the fact that because Jesus lives, we too can live in a way which brings hope to a world of brokenness, hope that there is change, renewal, and new life because Jesus Christ has risen. His living presence through the Holy Spirit means that we don't live in despair. Through the resurrection of his Son, God gives us hope for every circumstance of life. If we open our eyes, we can see all around us living proof of this hope, this change in people's lives. People who have come to know Jesus and his resurrection still experience sorrow and grief when death touches their lives. But they have the hope and the promise that there is more to life than death, more to death than pain and loss. The promise of the resurrection means that their loved one is not lost, but has truly been found and is with the Lord. Now, that doesn't take all the pain and sting out of death, but the resurrection of Jesus, who was dead and is now alive, changes everything about life. In 1 Peter, we read, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do so with gentleness and respect." That passage is often associated with the fact that we're to know how to defend our faith. And we are. But I think it's mostly about simply sharing the hope that Jesus gives. A hope that gives you the courage to face each day, confident that come what may, God has dealt with the worst that life can throw us at already, death itself, and has defeated it. But Easter also makes a difference because through that experience, we have a profound sense of peace in our lives, a peace that comes from knowing that God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, is in control of a life, of all life. Now, this means that I can give each day into God's hands, knowing that He'll take care of me. And I think this was partly what was behind Thomas's demands in that gospel reading we heard a few minutes ago. I wonder what that week between that first Easter Sunday evening and the Sunday directly following Easter was like for Thomas. I wonder what he went through as the other disciples tried to convince him that Jesus was still alive, that they had actually seen him. Was his life filled with frustration? Maybe frustration that Jesus hadn't waited just a little longer until he had returned that night? Was it filled with sorrow and despair that Jesus seemed to care more about the other 10 disciples and Mary and those two men that walked with Jesus there on the way to Emmaus? I don't know. But when Christ came on that Sunday after Easter, Thomas found peace and cried as he cried out, "My Lord and my God." As he surrendered his need for control, Thomas was able to find peace and confidence and strength because he knew that God, through his Son and the Spirit, is indeed in control. Easter makes a difference when we realize that we don't have to control life. We don't have to have it our way. We don't have to have our demands or conditions met because God still rules. As Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Would you believe me if I said that life, much of it, is unmanageable? Christian author Charlie Shedd tells this story about himself. He said, "Before we had kids, I used to travel around the country teaching a lecture I called The 10 Commandments for Raising Perfect Kids. Before I had kids." After he and Martha had their first child, he changed it to 10 Hints for Parents. And after their second child, he relabeled the lecture A Few Tentative Suggestions for Fellow Strugglers. And he said after the arrival of the third child, he just gave up speaking on the topic altogether. Here's a reality that I've discovered. And note that I say I've discovered, not figured out how to manage in a healthy or necessarily consistent way. I've discovered that I can't control everything in my life. But God can. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul wrote that he was praying that they may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul is saying that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is ours because of Easter. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I don't think you do either. I don't know what's going to happen next year or next month or next week. In fact, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or even this afternoon. And neither do you. But that's okay. Even though it's out of our control, it's not out of God's control. Is God ever surprised by anything that happens? So whatever happens, God says that he'll walk through it with us. That's his promise. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, that's the core of the peace which the risen Christ gives to our lives, the comfort and confidence that we belong to him no matter what happens in life. It's a sense of well-being in the midst of despair and disease. It's a sense of confidence, knowing that God is in control even when we have a difficult time seeing his hand, even when we can't understand all the chaos around us. And trusting that brings peace into our lives. One pastor put it this way, he said, no problem is too big for God. No situation is hopeless if you'll turn it over to him. I'm ready for everything through the power of positive thinking. No, it doesn't say that. I'm ready for everything because I psyched myself up, put on my big boy pants. Nope. Paul said, I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. And Easter makes a difference in our lives in that it marks life with a purpose, with meaning, because our future is secure. The universal problem of humanity, the universal problem you and I have, is that everybody dies. And you know what happens when we ignore problems? They often just get bigger. And that's what we're doing when we stay so busy in our lives that we don't stop to think about what lies ahead. You know, the reality is that people don't like to talk about death. We talked a lot about that during this Lent. Consider this. Invite somebody over for coffee and a piece of pie, and just as you're getting settled, say, let's talk about death. And you don't need much imagination to know what happens next. But while we know that none of us can get to heaven on our own, Jesus' resurrection says that eternal life is God's gift. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. I love this little story told by a man named Roy Dunn. He says he took his young son to the carnival once for his birthday. And his son picked six boys to go with him. So when they got there, Roy bought a roll of tickets, and whenever they got to a ride, he'd peel off seven tickets and give one to each of the boys. And then he said when they got to the Ferris wheel and he was pulling off a ticket for each kid, there was an eighth kid there with his hand out. And Roy asked, who are you? And the boy said, I'm Johnny. I'm your son's new friend. And he said, you'd give me a ticket. Did I give him one? Absolutely. In John 17, Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. When you get to heaven, you'll be able to say, God, I know that I don't deserve to be here, but I'm here because Jesus made me his friend. Now, like I said when I began this sermon, I probably haven't said anything you haven't heard before. I preach the same sermon every Sunday. Just with different words. But that's okay. Because the difference Easter makes isn't something that can be taught in a few minutes of a sermon, or reading the Bible now and then, or occasionally offering up our cares, worries, and needs to God in prayer. The difference Easter makes is the up and down road of life. Sometimes we simply walk down that road and all we see is the pain and the fleeting happiness of life. Sometimes we simply walk down the road and God gives us a glimpse of his mercy and love. And we believe like Thomas when he saw Jesus. But anytime we walk down that road, we know by faith that the destination is certain because of Easter. Does Easter make a difference in our lives? I think it does. Because of Easter, we live each day in the presence of the living Lord who gives us hope and gives us opportunities to share that hope. Because of Easter, we have a profound sense of peace in a world that is often difficult and frightening because we know the God who is truly in control. And because of Easter, we know that our future is secure. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Does Easter make a difference? It does. It does when Easter is more than just an annual religious observance that has become the defining event of our lives. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.